All right. You know what? In this dark world, he still sits on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We had an awesome time last night. We had at Oasis, we had a time of prayer. The whole service was committed to worship-based prayer last night and just praying for the families and the people in Connecticut. So what I'd like to do before we just begin, just offer up just a prayer, and I want you to just bow your heads in silence, just observe just a prayer to God. Think about the mothers and the fathers that have lost children. Pray for those children who actually witnessed and are traumatized by that. Pray for the school and that in this country that we're in. But no matter what happens in this dark world, he still reigns. He still reigns. So just take a moment and then I'll open up with the word. Father God, we know no matter what happens in this world, Father, that we do live in a fallen world, that it is a dark world. But God, you sent your only begotten Son to shed light on this world, Father, and that we know that you are in complete control. We don't understand everything that happens, Father, and we don't need to. All we need to understand is that you still are in control and you sit on the throne. Father, we pray for the people that are suffer loss this Christmas. Not just in Connecticut, but all over the world who suffer loss right now. God, we just remember you and remember your Son, Jesus Christ, and that our focus is on you and our eyes are directly on you because we know that you are our strength. You are our refuge. God, we just offer these prayers up to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I had some great news today. I found out a few days ago, but Nicole Everly is pregnant. So she's about 6 to 8 weeks, and, 5 weeks, okay? 5 to 6, all right. And so you guys are going to be grandparents again, and Les, you're going to be a daddy. So praise God. Now, what we need to do, though, is we need to keep her in prayer. Keep that so that she has a full-term, healthy baby, whatever God gives them, okay? So just keep them in prayer. This next 9 months or whatever it takes. So great news. So keep them in prayer, please. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about making the change. We're talking about transition and things like that. I want you to direct your attention to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. Luke really goes into the entire Christmas story. He's the only one that actually does that in detail with all the stuff that goes on. But I want you to direct your attention to chapter 2. And let's just read 10 verses beginning in Verse 8, we're going to talk about the great tidings of joy, the angels coming to the shepherds, and then the shepherds going out and talking to or seeing the babe in the manger, and then going out and telling everyone. And that's what we're to do, right? We're to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, this would be a different world today if everybody knew Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, wouldn't it? It'd be a totally different. Things like what happened Friday would never happen. Would never happen with born-again believers who were grounded in Jesus Christ and on that rock. Amen? All right, so let's begin in chapter 2 of verse 8, and it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Let's just open up again in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We would just ask that your word would penetrate our hearts this morning and that we would go changed, that we would have that transformation. And if there is anyone here this morning that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord over their life, Father, may today be the day of salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know what? It's all about transition. These guys here, these shepherds were transformed. They met the baby Jesus and they went out and they told everybody about it. Okay? Well, let me tell you a little bit. I'm going to back up. I've got 2 points for you this morning. 2 points. Very short ones. But I think you'll understand what this word is trying to get to you. Christmas 2012 will now go down in the history books in the life of Joe and Sue Ritz. I'll tell you what, 2012 has been one horrendous, horrendous year. If somebody said, Pastor Joe, I will give you $2 million if you would relive 2012 again. And I would say, absolutely not. You keep your money and keep walking. Give it to somebody else that had a better year than I did. Because I'll tell you what, it was one miserable year and it will not soon be forgotten. Because of the recent development in my life, I can say that God has drawn me closer to Him. He has transformed me because of everything that happened in 2012. I really can. I'll tell you what, and you will find as I talk to you, because I'm going to give you two great examples of how God worked in my life and has drawn me closer to Him, because everything that happens to us happens so that we can draw closer to Him. Amen? That's the whole reason. It's not to make me happy. It's not to make everything go well. You know, a lot of times people think that, well, you're a pastor, nothing ever happens to you, and your life is just fine. And the closer you get to Christ, the better your life is. Wrong. Wrong. It doesn't happen that way. As a matter of fact, it may even happen in reverse. But I'll tell you what, there is joy that surpasses all understanding that I have now. That I've always had, that God once in a while needs to prod me and remind me of that. And He probably does the same thing for you. He is still in the transformation business. And I am certainly glad that He has not given up on me yet. And He won't give up on me. He won't. And He has not given up on you yet either, no matter what your status or circumstance in life. Wherever you are, if you're poor, if you're rich, wherever you are in life, whatever you have, if you're unemployed or if you have a great job, wherever you are, He has not given up on you. And that's what I love about this passage this morning. One of the things I love about it, this Christmas story, is that God chose shepherds. God showed shepherds to be the recipients of the Christmas story. of the birth and the announcement of Christ who's come, God's Son. He chose shepherds. That's pretty awesome. It didn't matter that they were common people, that they were lowly, that they were dirty, smelly. Probably the person next to you smelly, either good or bad, right? I'd rather it be good. Rough and rugged, not well groomed or well dressed. It didn't make any difference. Family, they were ordinary people just like you and I are, right? Just ordinary people, just blue collar workers basically. Family, they were ordinary people. People who were just going about their business, tending their flocks. God could have chosen to deliver the announcement to the kings of the world. He could have chosen it to go out to the rabbis and the religious leaders. He could have chosen it to go out to the wealthiest, the most influential business leaders. He could have. But instead, he chose a very ordinary crowd, much like you and I, to go out and do his business, to go out and hear the announcement of Jesus Christ. Plain old, ordinary, blue-collared workers. Just shepherds. And I think God chose the shepherds because he knew they would be open to the message of Jesus Christ. And he knew that they would receive it well. He had confidence that they would go to see the baby Jesus and then go tell the rest of the world, just like you and I should do. And I wonder, family, is he as confident in us to go tell what we have seen? You bet he is. That's why you're here this morning. You're here to get the message and go tell. To go tell. Because he knows you will. That's what we did the other day when we went caroling. And it was awesome. Thank you very much, Marianne, for setting that up. We went out, we had a whole busload, and we went out caroling and talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we were received very, very well, and we need to do more of that. The rest of the world is beating their drum, and we need to beat the drum. We need to go and tell, just like the shepherds did. We were carrying the good news to the world. And I think if God had made the announcement of Christ to the elite of the day, they would have just been more concerned about what the message would have meant to their secure positions. And probably would have felt threatened had they even believed it. Family, the beautiful message of the announcement of the shepherds is that God uses the most common of us and the most humble of circumstances to communicate his message. The other point is that we should expect the unexpected and be flexible. Right? We should. Expect the unexpected and be flexible. The Jews had been waiting for centuries for the Messiah to come. And when he finally came, they missed it. They missed it. They thought that they knew how he would come and when it would happen as they expected. They didn't believe it. Family, this is the point where God needed to change me. With everything going on in my life recently, I thought I knew what to expect. I thought I knew what God was doing in my life and what he wanted. But then things got a little messy. Let me just briefly tell you about the last 2 weeks of my life. First of all, with the house. You know what kind of mess I've been in all summer. Or we put our house up for sale a year ago. It didn't sell, so we decided to stay and put a kitchen in. Well, let me tell you something. That was the kitchen from hell. With no question about it. It finally gets done sometime in August or September. Or even November, I don't even remember now. But it took a long time. And 2 weeks after it was completely done, and Sue and I finally got to sit down and rest, somebody called and said, I want to buy your house. So, are you kidding me? And at first we said, no, we're not going to sell it. And then we decided, okay, maybe that is a good idea. Let's see if we can't find a house that we can move into. And we did. And everything was working fine. And I knew, because my wife and I got something out of the Word of God that said, you know what, you need to move back. Because, you know what, it's a lot of hassle to live 25 minutes away from the church. We're going to move 5 minutes away from the church. So I thought, this is God. This is God wanting us to move here. And then we got some devastating news. We started to move. Everything was going. Papers were signed. And then the people said, well, whoa, whoa. There was a flaw. There was a glitch. And now we were sitting there thinking, now what? God, you told me. And I got angry. And this is where God had to change me. This is where God had to say, you know what? I still sit on the throne. I am still in control. God, why? God, doesn't this make sense to you? I'm going to move closer. I'm going to sell out here and then move over here. Doesn't that make sense to you, God? You said in your word that you wanted me to move. And I got upset. And I got on my knees and I said, God, what are you doing? Don't you know I know better? And that's when the transformation took place. That's when I said, you know what? I apologize, God. Forgive me for being me. I want to grow closer to you. I want to know you more. Thank you for putting me through this. And the next day, we signed another contract and everything went well. And now we're on the way to moving back to Uniontown. The other thing that happened was my driver's license. I thought that because I could drive a tractor trailer, I could drive this little bus out here. That's not true. I could have lost my license, but God protected me. I went out and I got my permit to drive a passenger bus, and I was doing everything that I thought I was supposed to do. And this is how things worked, okay? I called PennDOT and I said, I have a Class A license, CDL. I can drive a tractor trailer. I have my permit to drive a bus. Can I drive that alone or do I need somebody with me? They said, no, you could drive it by yourself. I said, can I pick up kids? Oh, absolutely. Okay. All right. So I started picking up kids. I've got my permit. So I go out on Wednesday. It took me 3 weeks to get an appointment to drive, to take my test. I make my appointment. 3 weeks came on Wednesday. Was all happy, got in the bus, took it out to PennDOT, sat down. He said, okay, you ready for your test? Yep, ready to go. He said, where's your driver with you? I said, well, I have a Class 3 license, or a Class A license. I said, wait a second. I said, wait a second. You can't drive that bus. If you get caught driving that bus, you can lose your license. I said, you're joking. I said, he said, doesn't matter. This is the law. This is the rule. Now, Wednesday night, I have to go pick up kids. I can't drive the bus. And the white bus out there is broke down with the safety hazard because they had a recall, and they said, don't drive it because it could burn up. So I said, now, I get back here, and I said, Pastor Ron and John L., what are we going to do? We've got the white van, and we've got 60 kids that need to get here. How are we going to do this? Well, I don't know. We're going to have to make a lot of trips and start 3 hours early. So I call over the Ford garage, and I said, hey, this is the dilemma. They said, bring it over. They fixed the recall. The bus was ready to go. So now we're down to two buses, and we only had to make 3 trips. It was good. We were good, okay? So we got all the kids here, and I was probably happier that day than I've been in a long time, because when I came in this church and I had those kids in here, and every single room in this church was busy about God's business. There were children in every single room with adults instructing them in every single room, and we even had people out in the hallway having class. I said, praise you, Lord. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. So I get online to schedule my test. It said that I couldn't take another test until January. So what am I going to do, Lord? Don't you know I know better than you again? So what am I going to do? Pastor Ron comes in. He said, you try anywhere else? I said, no, I just tried the Uniontown one. He said, try something else. So I went Greensburg next day. Yes, I can get it the next day at 9:45, but who am I going to get to go with me? I don't know. We don't know anybody. So we put it out on Facebook. He made some contacts. We got somebody, another pastor from another church in New Stanton, said, I would be glad to help you. And then David Yekel, he called later on after I'd already made arrangements, and he said, hey, yeah, you know what? I've got a B license. I can help you. So anyway, I'm all happy. I got this guy lined up. I take the bus home. It's sitting in the driveway. I get up the next morning, and I go to start it, and it's dead. I said, Lord, you're really pushing your luck. It's dead. So I call the lady in AAA's. I'm a AAA member probably since 1990, all right? So I call them up, and I've only used them one other time. I said, I need a jump. They said, what kind of vehicle do you have? I said, it's an International. They said, it's not a choice. They said, what make is it? I said, it's an International. Well, no, that's not a choice. It's either got to be a Ford. I said, okay, it's a Ford. It's a Ford, lady. It's a Ford. She said, okay. She says, how many wheels does it have? I said, 6. She says, that's not on here either. I said, okay, but it has a battery, so can you come over and jump me? Anyway, after some confusion there, she says, yeah, it'll be an hour. Well, I didn't have an hour. I said, you need to get over here as soon as you can. But anyway, they came over, they jumped me, it went well. This guy, by the way, you know, the last time they jumped me, they came with this great big giant trailer truck and these big jumper cables that were like cables like this, okay? And he jumped my little Mercedes-Benz. This time, I've got this big commercial vehicle out there with 2 batteries in it, and they bring this little roller skate, and this guy's driving like this. And I'm thinking, how are you going to jump this with that? And he goes into his trunk, and he pulls out this little tiny box like this, and one of those jumpers, and he says, I'll jump it with this. I said, no, you won't. But he did. And I made it to my appointment, believe it or not. It was 9:45 was my appointment. 9:45, I was there standing in front. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting me there. You're putting me through the test here. But you know what? I went through it, and there were reasons. And I, as I look back, I know why he put me through that exercise. I know I made a contact on Wednesday, sitting there with the guy that owns a bus company. And he said, you know what, I'll help you out anytime I can. I told him who I was, what I was doing, and things like that, what we were doing as a church. And he says, you know what, I own a bus. I said, or do you just work for the guy? He said, no, I own the bus company. Awesome. And then when I went, I got my license, and everything went well with that. And so now I'm legal to drive the bus. Praise God. But he had to put me through that. How many times do we expect things to happen the way we want them to happen, and then when they don't, we get all bent out of shape? When God throws you a curveball and we don't go with it, we deny it like I did. We fight it like I did. We try to crush it. We ignore it. But there it is, nonetheless, the problem. You know, I think, and I'll tell you this real quick, the example I have is Paul. It's a great example. He's on his way to capture more Christians and throw them into prison, and he encounters Jesus on the way to the road to Damascus, and was transformed. And then he leads a life of Christianity. And take a look at 2 Corinthians real quick, and we're going to end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Beginning in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And it happened. I transformed from this person who constantly said, "Why, God? Why me?" to a person that says, "The reason why I'm going through this is to make me a better man for you, right, to serve you better, to help this congregation grow, and to see that you still sit on the throne regardless of whatever happens, what happens in Connecticut, what happens here in your own personal life. It doesn't make any difference. He is still in control. He still reigns, and he will reign forever." Let's pray. Would you all stand with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you and I thank you, Father. Thank you for the times of trial. The times that you try me so that I would be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. They're hard times, Father. And as Paul said, that he asked you three times to take it from him. But you wouldn't do that. Not because you're some meanie sitting on the throne, because you wanted Paul to know that you sat on the throne, or that you sit on the throne. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for those that have come out this morning that are worshiping you, that will be like the shepherds and go tell the story of Christ, born as a human, you stepping off, God stepping off his throne and coming to earth to take on flesh so that he might save us from ourselves. God, I just thank you. I love you. And at this time, I just want to open the altar up this morning for a time of prayer, for a time that if you want to come down and pray for the tragedy that happened on Friday, you come down and you lay things down here. And if there's a time, if there's some things going on in your life like they were in my life, why don't you come on down and lay those here and say, "God, you know what? I've been kind of a little bit upset with you lately, and you know, I don't understand everything, but you know what? I'm going to just give it to you now. I'm just going to give it to you, and you take it, and you show me how I'm supposed to transform and to grow with you, Father. Show me." Or if there's anything else, if there's loved ones you need to pray for, grab somebody's hand, bring them down here to the altar, and just have a nice time of prayer with one another. The altar is open. Won't you come?
Lift my fear by the side of the road. Hear you speak and won't let go. I fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. Got every reason to be here again. Father's love that draws me in. All my eyes wanna see is a glimpse of you. All I need is you. All I need is you. it's not the same. Your spirit calls my heart to sing. I'm drawn to the voice of my Savior once again. Where would my soul be without your Son? He gave his life to save the earth. And rest in the thought that you're watching over me. All I need is you. Yeah. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you.
Father God, all we need is you. No matter our circumstance, no matter our lot in life, no matter our social status or financial status, God, you are in control, and all we need is you. All we need is you. Father, never keep working with us. Lord, just continue to work in our lives and show us and conform us and transform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
And you know, it's so important that if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, it's so important that you really get serious about that and receive him as your Savior, because you never know what events might take place. We never, as what unfolded on Friday took place, we never would have imagined that something like that could happen. And sometimes we just simply, we don't know the reasons why, we can't explain it, but we serve a God, like Pastor Joe said, that's still on the throne. He's still in control. And Revelation 21:4, I'm so thankful that we serve a God that says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you, and we simply don't understand why these things happen, although we live in a fallen world. And we bring this all to you, that here in Connecticut and all around the world, those that are suffering from loss, from broken lives, that you would put a desire in their heart to search you and receive you as their Savior. And I just pray that you would send out your comfort and peace to all these people that only you can do. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together once you've given your offering. Let's close with a verse and chorus of Wonderful Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name.
Amen. You're dismissed. Take that with you.